started getting ready, I want to tell you a story about something that happened at youth group a couple weeks ago. I was talking to the students about the 30-hour famine, and I was using Matthew 25, where Jesus separates the sheep and the goat, the sheep on his right, the goat on his left. And he says to the sheep, go ahead into the kingdom of heaven. You've done a good job. And they're like, what do you mean? Why haven't we done what he told us to do? He said, for I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then he says to the goats on his left, and I'm talking to the students, I said, like, you guys are on the right, you're the sheep, you're the goats. And I said, the version I'm using is, it was the message. And it said, you're nothing, you're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And then when I came out of my mouth, I was shocked. I was like, that's pretty harsh. I'm like, not you personally. And it shocked me, though, when it came out. I mean, we've all heard this story before, right? And it seemed really harsh to me. And I think it was kind of a wake-up call to me. Nothing good for nothing but the fires of hell is if you don't follow what Jesus tells us to do. And so our theme for the 30-hour famine, as you know, is feed your 5,000. But in our youth group, our sub-theme is don't be a goat. There's one line in the Psalm we're about to sing where it says, what will become of me in his story? And only advice I can say is, don't be a goat.
Be a sheep. Matt.
Those tantrums I was just talking about earlier. Praise God, the Lord cuts the children some slack. Good to see everybody. How you doing, Jeter? How's everybody doing? Come a little closer. Come up here.
You have to make room for everybody, and Ms. Jess as well.
I'm doing good.
You're doing good? Why, I wanted to tell you something today because one of you said something to me after worship last week, and you said, "What's a Gideon?" Because I had announced that the Gideons were coming today. Well, Gideon in the Bible is a guy I'm going to tell you about real briefly, but the Gideons are, Josh, you just said that big guy. What I wanted to tell you is, oh, and I want to make sure I get this date right. In 1898, there was this guy, and he went to stay in a hotel, and it was very, very full. So the hotel asked him if he would share a room. I don't think they ever do that anymore now. It would be too creepy. But back then, it was something that they did, okay? And two businessmen shared a room. Ooh, that's awesome. You're going to put that in the offering plate. Now you're going to save that. Anyway, the two men got to talking, and you know what? They both were lovers of Jesus. They both were Christian. And they got to praying about the time that they spent on the road, and they thought, you know what? We're going to have a meeting of all kinds of businessmen to come and to get together, and we're going to have a ministry with businessmen on the road that are on the road all the time. And so they set a date for the meeting, and they had this big meeting, and they were all ready, and guess what? Only one other guy showed up. Can you believe that? That happens in the church sometimes. People have stuff to do. Anyway, it was the two guys and one other guy. Three guys showed up. Yes, what?
Well, I had two birthday parties last Saturday and Sunday, so on Saturday,
yes?
Only three kids showed up.
It happens, doesn't it? It does. It happens.
Well, it used to be four, but then one was
six. So you know how this works. That's right. It happened. That's right. And so they got to praying, and they thought that this would be, they were still going to start the ministry, but they decided to call themselves the Gideons. And does anybody know why they would have chosen to call themselves the Gideons? I would be surprised if you knew. Well, let me tell you why they called themselves the Gideons. Do you know that there was this guy in the Bible called Gideon? And he was a very weak guy from a very, very weak, weak tribe. And yes. He did. You have jumped ahead of me. Yes, you have jumped ahead of me. Now just be quiet for just a minute or you're going to have to finish the story, okay? Right. Well, God came to him and spoke to him, and he said that he wanted him to go to battle against the Midianites, which were a very, very great and powerful people that had enslaved the Israelites. And he was like, how can I be the one to do that? I'm so little and I'm so weak. And God said, I will be with you, and you will be successful. And it's a whole awesome story if you get the chance to read the story about Gideon. It's a very cool story. But the point was, God used Gideon, the smallest and the least important, to do a very, very great work in his kingdom. And these three godly men said, even though there's only three of us, God will use us to do a mighty, mighty work. And you want to know what? God did just that. And you know what? A pastor, they had a meeting actually at 1900-something and change, and one of the pastors and one of the guys said, well, you know what? If you guys want to put Bibles everywhere, I think the church ought to help you pay for that. And that's how pastors got to be very involved with the Gideons and passing out Bibles, and that's how the churches started to get to support the ministry. Isn't that cool? You know, John and I were at a big meeting of the Gideons on Friday night in Brinigsville. And it was many, 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 many people. And do you know what's really, really cool? Is that in the churches, when everybody gives their money to the Gideons, do you know that every dollar goes towards buying Bibles? And Mr. Fegley today is going to tell us some other things. Now, some of you, if you're younger than third grade, you're going to be in junior church, but some of you will not. And you'll get to hear that awesome story that Mr. Fegley has to say. But look at my face. Look at my face. Look at my face, because this is what I want you to remember from this story. Because this is a story for us too. No matter how little or insignificant and just weak that you think you are, when you love Jesus and you look to him, he will give you strength to do.
so you don't have to be afraid. Is that the coolest story? It worked for Gideon in the Old Testament. It works for the Gideons now today, and it works for each one of you. And it works for each one of us. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that we don't have to be big and powerful. We just have to be willing, and that you use us. And we are willing because we love you, and we have Jesus in our hearts. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Oh, yes, yes. There's a goodie. Wait, and Miss Descendio and Miss Knoll, you're under third grade, yes?
Good morning, all you troublemakers. Yes, this morning we're troublemakers. You know, we Gideons, we look and we see out in this world the trouble that's being made by Satan. We Gideons want to make trouble too for Satan by doing what we're doing, reaching out into the world and distributing God's word. And we come into your church. We ask your pastor, she's the number one maker of the trouble this morning because she allowed us in. We, the Gideons, are the second troublemakers. You, the prisoners, are the third troublemakers because we ask for free will offering. And as your pastor, she took a lot off of me this morning by her sermon here with the children. 100%. Every penny collected goes strictly for the purchase of Scripture. We are in over 195 countries. We print God's Word in over 95 different languages. And it breaks my heart to realize that our men that's over in the mother countries forming Gideon camps, they go into the schools. Children are just pleased and so happy that they receive a copy of the Scripture. It's a little orange testament like this here, this brown one I hold up. But one of our Gideons came back and he gave a report. He was over there. They passed out 400 and some Scriptures and he had one Scripture left. The children were looking and a lot of hands went up. One little girl walked up him, and he said he was in fear for getting mobbed for that one Scripture. One little girl walked up. She reached up and she took that Scripture out of his hand. Up, God's word. She went back and gathered around other children that's there. She looked through it. She looked around. She did. Opened to the first page. Word out in her pocket. And then the next page, she tore it off to the next trial. She went through that copy of God's Word, that little testament, to every page, until there were no pages left, and there were more children standing there. That Gideon went back 4 years later, and he was told that every page of that Scripture that was given out, the girl that took the first page, she memorized it. The girl that took the second page memorized it, and when she had it memorized, she gave it to the girl who took the first page. And they passed that copy of Scripture all the way down, and then the first one went to some of the children that didn't receive out of the first copy of that Scripture. That's a joy to my heart. That's what it's all about. We don't get no pay. Our dues are $40 a year. Our wives are $20. That's what goes to operate Nashville. We have 7 paid staff in Nashville. All we get in, even those who travel overseas, they go over there on their own. We are the men of 3 books. Men of the good book, the Bible. We are the men of the guide book, and we are the men of our pocket. We stand all expenses to go out there and do this work. And we're thankful for you people here and your pastor who allowed us to come in and give a short message. Oh, yes, I have a clock back there. I talked to your pastor, and she said, take as much time as you want, and I want to be out of here before dinner, though. Yes, that's how joyful it is. I could go on and on and on talking about the Gideons. Who are we? We're a group of business and professional men. Our sole purpose, to reach out there into the world and distribute his word that others might know to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It breaks our hearts when I said over there, they go into them schools, the children are so eager to get it. Here in this great country, a country founded on God, his name is being removed from the school. They can't have prayer in the school. We cannot enter one school in Schuylkill County to pass out a little orange testament. We're out. 2 years back, we were over in Tamaqua there on a distribution. We're standing on a sidewalk passing out scripture, and a lady came out and she said, get off the sidewalk, get on the road. We're going to be sold. We had some complaints. We couldn't even go on the sidewalk or the street because they owned it. Where did we stand? We stood down on the public street, catching the children coming out. That wasn't us passing out scriptures. Yes, we did. We passed out 100-some scriptures. But it was cool in the fall of the year when we did it. And I sat in the car a little bit with the heater running because I wasn't properly dressed. And I seen a little girl that received one. And another boy, and they're coming in the corner like to see where they were, and they're looking. I seen the testament in her hand, and I thought, oh, somebody back. Somebody didn't get it. Sat there, and they walked by, and they're looking, and got out the car, and I said, excuse me, I said, are you looking for the men with the testaments? Yeah, but they're gone. I said, no. God had me stay there for a reason. I said, I don't have the little orange one, but I said, I'll tell you what. And I reached in my pocket and I pulled out a little brown one. Yes, she said, this is my brother. And when I told him, she said, we come up, he wanted one too. God had me stay there for a reason. One more copy of God's word handed out. I'm thinking back, the report I give over in Brackville a few years back. And I held up the little brown testament and I says, this cost $1.05. Where 100% of every cent we collect purchases this scripture. We use the money for nothing else. And after I was done, a little boy come up to me and he says, Mr. Gideon, he said, I would like one of them little brown books. But he said, you know, I only have 9 cents. He said, they cost $1.05. Oh, with my heart joyful. Again, reached in, pulled out. Yeah, but he said, Mr. Gideon, I only have 9 cents. What struck me was the widow's mite. She gave her all. She gave more than the rich people did. What struck me in my heart was he was willing to give up his all, 9 cents, for that little book. And I said to him, I said, you remember what I said? 100% of every penny collected goes strictly for the purchase of Scripture. So I said, your 9 cents is purchased in the Scripture. It hurt me to take his last 9 cents he had. He wanted that scripture so bad. But he was willing to give up his last 9 cents. He only had 9 cents. And I watched him. He took it, and I was in the back doing things that we had to do after the message. And he went up, and he sat on the pew, and he looked at it. And I didn't know his name either. I didn't ask him his name, but he was looking at it. And all at once, he come and he sat, and he's just looking through it, looking through it, looking through it. And we got things taken care of in the back there. His mother hollered, "Johnny, come on, we got to go." Come up to me. Left hand, he took that copy of scripture. Put it on his chest. Put his right hand in, he says, "Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No money paid to me could outweigh that. But I was there. I had a child that I did something for." And again, we need to make trouble. We need to get God's word back into the schools. We need to be able to go back on the school property and give out his word. My growing up in school, we went to school in the morning, a teacher got the Bible. She'd get up there and she'd read a copy of her word of scripture. She had a little prayer to take us through the day. Today, no, there's no prayer more back in the school. They have their commencements. No, they can't have prayer at the commencement. Graduations. They're barred from it. What happened to this country? The greatest country known in the world, but yet. First country to be taking God's name out of public places. Country founded on the Word of God. Our ancestors, they believed, they prayed. Look at the world today, the sin that's in it. We Gideons have a great job to do. As the pastor had said about the community, she said, "I see you got 6 new members." Yes, and oh boy, are we happy. Are we happy for the 6 new members? Because the majority of the Gideons in the Schuylkill East camp now here on borrowed time. Yeah. God's word says 70 all others is borrowed time. I'm so thankful for 13 years of borrowed time. And I ask the Lord for more years. You know, I go out and I talk and I say, they say, "Well, you're getting up there with us." Yeah, but I have 42 more years. I have 42 more years. That's what I'd like the Lord to give me. 42 more years. What's that? That's 55 years of borrowed time to go out and spread his word. Can you give me 55 years of borrowed time? That's what we need. We had a Gideon at the age of 92. Suffered prostate cancer. Went into the hospital. And his son-in-law went to see him. And as he laid in Geisinger Hospital there, he went. When the son-in-law went in, he was praying. The son-in-law stood and he listened. And what did he ask for? He says, "Lord," he says, "just spare me for 10 more years. Give me 10 more years that I can go out and spread your word. Please, Lord, give me 10 more years. The Lord seemed fit, no. It's time to come home, Luther. It's time to come home. All he is, no Grandpa Libby. Grandpa Libby, I think, was in his 90s. But Grandpa Libby had no education. I often think of the story he told. He quit school in first grade. Yeah, he told a story about it. He didn't know English. All he knew was Dutch. And he went to school. The teacher talked to him and he just smiled at her. She talked to him again and he smiled at her. And the first week of school, he went home and he told his mother, he said, "I'm not going back to school." He said, "All the teacher does is beat you." "Whew, well, today, oh, don't you look at the crease cross-eyed, you're sued." But the teacher, the mother went to see the teacher, and she asked what was wrong. She said, well, I talked to him, and she said, all he does is smile. She said, there's something wrong with him. His mother says, no, he doesn't understand you. All he understands is Dutch. And she was speaking to him in English. First grade in school, he had to learn English. But he was quitting school in first grade because the teacher beat you. Wonderful man. That man could get us in any church, in any school, in any nursing home. We have nursing homes. Now, I've been in a Gideon since 1985. I told your minister I'd like to come down and give you a testimony of how I became a Gideon. But I know it would be dinner time before we get out of here. But we went to that home last year, nursing home up in our area, and we went in, which we put scripture in every 2 years. We went in, and the lady in charge says, she said, I'll get back to you. Said, but I don't think we need any. But I'll get back to you. When we waited, we didn't hear from her. We made a telephone call. Well, no, she said, we'll get back to you. So two of the Gideons decided to pay a visit. They paid a visit. You know what they were told? No, we don't need your Bibles. We're a dominant Catholic-operated home, and any need that anybody has in here will supply it. Are we in America? Are we in the United States, the great country that was founded upon God? I'm preaching. I ain't giving a giddy message. I'm preaching. Which I shouldn't. Because we're supposed to. But the way it works, I have a couple minutes yet. Another way you can help is in the back there's a card rack. It's in memory and honor and thinking of you. That's another way you can help. By sending a loved one, sending a grieved person a card. Donation of Bibles. That helps us. We get a lot of cards. Matter of fact, the school police camp is one of the highest in Schuylkill County, in Pennsylvania even, for supplying scriptures. When Grandpa Livey passed away, I think it was 400 and some scriptures were donated in his memory. It's a joy. Grandpa Livey is still being blessed. There's still people that are being saved by the loss of a great, great man, a great Gideon, a good worker, a man not educated but yet could talk his way into any school or any home. He was a true businessman. I qualified 2 years ago. Pennsylvania president of the Gideons asked me what degree I had, what college I attended, and what degree I had. Wait a minute. No, I left school in 10th grade. Go to work to support my father, mother, and youngest sister. I have no education. But when I qualified, he says to me, he says, I can't believe it. He says, you don't have a nope. 10th grade education. I went independent mining. Spent 20 some years in the ground, under the ground, mining. Laws changed. Our job had to change. We left the mines. We went out on construction. in a free country. But I got in trouble for working. We were told by the union I worked too hard. I should slow down. Well, I put up with that 3 years, and I got sick of it, and I started in business myself again. All my life, I've been self-employed, except for 3 years. That was my education. This is my education. I knew the Lord all my life, little up. We're a family of six. Sisters, two sisters, and four brothers. Four brothers served all their time in the service. Not all their time, but they served their time in the service. Last Wednesday, we sat down and had a meal together. All six of us, over 80 years. All six of us on borrowed time. All six of us still living. We have longevity in the family, though, I must tell you that. Because we had people, our relatives, that went in to be over 100 years old. So I might get 42 more years of coming out and speaking. I want to give you a testimony of a young girl down in Quakertown. Family, a mother, a wife, a mother, husband. The whole family had a habit of going out into the gin mills, having a few pour downs. Mary Beth Kovac, that was her name. Her and her husband went out one night, left the children home. They went out for a few drinks in the bar, sitting there. Another guy walks in and sits down the side of him. And a smooth talker, a smooth barfly, got talking to her. And in the talk, talked her into leaving her husband and her children. And they take off together. And I guess she had enough in her that she agreed to it. Took two six-packs he bought, and in the car they started down 309 towards Philadelphia. They didn't get out of Quakertown, and they see open, vacancy, motel. They stopped there for a night, drinking, pleasure, fun. They signed in, they went in. Again, how this word works. They went in, she sat down on the bed, he went in the best room. There in the nightstand, the drawer partly cocked. She looked in and there's a, well, what's that book in there? So she pulled the drawer out and she got the book out. What was it? Gideon Place Bible. The motel that left us in. A church or a card that spent $5 for a copy of God's Word. Back then it wasn't $5, it was $4.25. But it was spent for a copy and put in that desk drawer and picked it out and she looked and it was laying there open to Galatians. Galatians 5. And as she looked at it, she seen a check mark. Well, what's that? This is what the check mark read. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one of those, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variances in illuminations, rats, strife, seditions, hearsayers,
everything, murders, drunkards, nest revealing, and such like of these which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. The young lad come out. She had the copy of the Bible in her hand. She said, I want to go home. Mary Beth, he said, I want to go home. Take me home. I want to go home. Okay, I'll find my way home. No, he decided that he would take her home. Not to the bar, though. He went to the, I want to go home. Took her to her house. She went in and she waited for her husband to come home. Questioned her, where were you? She admitted to him what was in their mind and what they were going to do. This word changed her life, changed her husband's life, changed her children's life, it changed her parents' and her brother's and her sister's life. 2-3 weeks later, her mother come to her and she says, Mary Beth, she says, you're on. She says, I don't know. She said, what got over you? But she said, you know, she said, I'd like to have some of that what you have. She got the Bible and she opened it up to Galatians. Read what you read in that motel. The whole family became saved. She got one copy of scripture from Gideon to the place. Some church gave an offering, purchased it. And she opened her house to a prayer study, a Bible study, a midweek. As far as I know, it's still being done. So we just thank and praise God. We thank and praise God for you troublemakers, my trouble and your pastor, troublemaker, for allowing us to come in. That we can take a free will offering and continue to purge scripture. But I ask that you continue. We pray for you every Saturday morning, all the pastors and all the parishioners and that. Every Saturday morning at our prayer breakfast, we pray for you. And I think we send a card thanking you in honor of what the work you're doing, and that you pass it on to the church that you received the card from the Gideon. We're faithful in doing that. And again, even if you can't give today, if you just take a minute or two in your everyday prayer time and you ask God to be with the Gideons, not only of the Schuylkill East camp, but the Gideons of the world, that they can continue to reach out there to the highways and the byways and distribute God's word and bring men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, again, we do thank and we do praise you. Yes. It's been such a joy in my heart, Lord, that when I come in here and not knowing but when I come in and I see the youth and participation in the services and the joy that's in it and the comfort that it gives one to know that, yes, they come in here, no, not educated, but Lord, led through you, through your Holy Spirit, as what to say and how to say it. And Lord, show the joy and the love that's in me and that I ask that as I receive such a joy, Lord, that money couldn't pay enough for the joy that I received this morning in this congregation and this pastor, Lord, that allowed us to come in, and the children, how they participated We need more of that, Lord, and we do ask again, and we're asking in faith, believing that again this country will come back to your name, not being taken out of public places, but put in more public places, and your word being able to be distributed back into the school, to the children. Yes, Lord. I do think of one more, and that's the young lad I seen on television, Lord, around Easter, when the Easter services and that was on in the news. And he stood up there, and he gave a word of corruption, I'd say. Corruption, Lord. Because he says that all those who believe what they're hearing at Easter time, it's wrong. There was no beginning, and there'll be no ending. This world shall go on for an eternity. There is no hell, and there is no God. That poor child, Lord, that poor young man. I pray, Lord, that somehow a copy of the scripture will get into his hands, and he might see it like Mary Beth read, and that he will ask forgiveness. And we know, Lord, that you are such a loving God, no matter what we do or how we sin, Lord, and we ask your faithfulness, loving, to forgive us of those sins. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask again, Lord, that you will continue to watch over us, bless us, guide us, and direct us in all that we say or do. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. In and through the loving name of your Son, Jesus, in whom we come to you through. Amen.